With traffic, errands, and parking, cars can be a chore.
But a great car can be an adventure, a getaway, and a prized possession.
Whatever your budget or family require, there's a car out there you'll love. We're here to help you find it. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul. And this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate.
This weekend I've discovered something. I've discovered a lot of things because the Phaeton got delivered. But honestly, okay. this big sedan challenge that you and I are in the middle of, you have got your Quattroporte.
Oh, it's just begun.
I know.
Just begun.
And I just got the Phaeton.
Yeah.
It proves to me that you and I are car-obsessed guys. Because
okay.
we already, while there will be many jokes, we already are seeing past the jokes to what are these cars? And I have found things about the Phaeton, which is, compared to the Lotus, an aircraft carrier.
Oh, absolutely.
I have found things about it that have already surprised me and already genuinely like.
Okay.
And things I'm already going, what is up with this?
Okay.
So I
good.
What I love is I watched you go through this with the Phaeton Quattroporte about a week ago. And now I'm going through it with the Phaeton where I'm like, that's much better than I expected it to be. And that's not good. I'm having both of those.
Okay,
you know, and
good.
It just proves to me again how much you and I love cars and how much, and this is the real point here, for us and for all of you listening, how much having a new car experience is exciting.
Hmm.
And I don't think, honestly, generally is ever all bad. It might be mostly bad, but never all bad.
We've tried to direct it towards mostly, but we're having the new car experience. You're right.
Yes, we are.
Very much so. It's kind of exciting just in that sense.
It's very exciting. It's so exciting. My son said to me last night, my wife wasn't home. My son said to me last night about an hour before his bedtime, he went, "Hey, Dad, can we go for a ride in the Phaeton?" And so we did.
Oh, that's great.
And I had a rough parenting day. This is the reality of parenting. You have days when you think you did okay. You have days when you don't even know why you're not doing a good job, but you know you aren't. I did not have a good day with you yesterday. Part of it wrapped into that was he had that perfect little kid mentality of must press every button at least twice, much like pound the button. And I'm like, buddy, this car's fragile, okay?
Let's
not pound any buttons.
Both
Let's not
these
be doing
things,
any
I feel
of
like
that.
But, out of sawdust.
But we went and drove it yesterday. We saw a daily triple.
Did you?
Yes, that car wants to be on the Autobahn.
Well, it's designed for it. It's German. It's that German car feel of all German cars have this feel.
Totally.
It's amazing.
There's a Phaeton video coming. There's a really good Quattroporte video coming. It's already
cutting. Thank you. I'm already working on it. It is cutting. It's the first drive.
Phaeton video is happening. We're actually filming it later this week. We will be at the LA Auto Show later this week. By the way, on Friday, that will be our LA Auto Show wrap-up. Happy Tuesday to you, but our LA Auto Show wrap-up is coming this week because we'll be there Wednesday. If you're there on the floor Wednesday, we'd love to see you. But I have to head for my first ridiculous Phaeton experience happened about 2 hours ago.
Did it really?
Yes. The car just came off the transport this weekend.
Yeah.
Yep. It has no tags of any kind because it was put on a transporter in Florida and pulled off in Utah. It doesn't have temp tags. It's got no tags.
Right.
It's just a big black thing.
Right,
okay?
Right.
I was driving it to the DMV this afternoon. I pulled out of my neighborhood and got on the freeway behind a local Park City sheriff. Now, you may remember our friend from the episode that says the cops are here.
Chad.
Remember our friend Chad,
who's
a local sheriff, okay?
Okay.
It's one of that department.
Okay.
We see a lot. We see Park City's police are around. We see Utah Highway Patrol, and we all see the sheriff. So there's three different departments that kind of go around our neighborhood. But this is sheriff. He's in front of me in a Yukon. We get on the freeway. I'm in the Phaeton. I'm going to go get tags. You see this is headed.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to the DMV right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I have the title in the passenger seat. We get on the freeway. It's 65 right there. He's doing 68 or so.
Okay.
I get up to about 71, 72.
Okay.
And I get all the way over in the left lane, and I slowly am now creeping past him. I get past him, headed for the exit.
Yeah.
He sweeps behind me and lights me up.
Okay. Of course.
Everything lights me up.
Okay.
I'm not even to my – I'm going down one exit. You know where I'm going.
Yes.
From my house. I'm literally going one exit on the freeway. I'm halfway there. He lights me up. He pulls me over. I'm like, oh, man. And I'm thinking, there's not a stitch of tagging on this car anywhere. It's clear that I have no tags. So I pull off. He parks. He comes walking up. I roll down my window. He does the classic hides behind the B pillar and only leans forward. And because of where the sun is, the sun's literally in my eyes.
I was hoping you were going to say it's Chad.
It's not Chad.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not Chad.
All right.
So he leans in and he's just a silhouette. And I said, I'm sure this is about the fact I have no tags at all, right? And he waits a beat and he smiles at me and he goes, actually, hoping you can tell me about cheap Phaetons.
What? What?
I smiled at him and I said, wait, do you know about this car and who I am? He said, I know exactly who you are. Chad's got me listening to the podcast.
He saw the Everyday Driver sticker in the back window.
He saw everything about the car. He said he saw it behind him. And he thought, is that a Phaeton? He looked at it as it passed him. He took his foot off the gas so that I would pass him.
Oh, my God.
And he was like,
you're kidding me.
And then he said, my thought was, huh, it has no tags yet. Yeah, there's a reason. And so he lit me up so he could say hi.
You're kidding me.
He said, Chad turned me on.
This is the greatest thing ever.
He said, Clayton, by the way, thank you, man. He said, Chad turned me on to the podcast. I know exactly who. I've been following this story. And I said, I'm literally going to the DMV right now for tags. He said, enjoy the drive. Have a good day.
Oh, this is the best thing ever.
I knew you'd love that story because it happened 2 hours
ago. No way.
And I've been hanging on to it until we got to the podcast because I loved his first thing out of his mouth was just wondering if you could tell me about cheap Phaetons.
What?
So, Clayton, thanks, man. That was very cool of you. And I had to laugh.
Todd did not tell me this story. He just said, I've got a cool story for the open for the podcast. And I have not heard this. My jaw is on the floor. Oh, my gosh. So Clayton is the officer then, right?
Clayton is the first name of the officer. So he
Clayton,
Chad has
nice to meet you.
Gotten him.
Thanks for listening
to the podcast, and he's aware of this madness. And,
oh my gosh,
that just happened. There it is.
That is the best thing ever.
Plus, I'm aware of one other Phaeton in town, and I know it's white and pretty beat down. I've got a black one with crazy chrome wheels. It's we're not common. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Golly, that's fantastic. Well, thank you all for listening. This is
amazing.
We're just, I think there's so many more stories ahead of us like this that are going to be nutty and fun and
for sure.
All this stuff.
For sure.
You know, I'm cruising around in a burgundy QP5.
You're recognizable now,
Turning old guys' heads like, ooh.
Should have had one of those.
I missed the boat. That thing.
You keep getting people offering you money and guessing three times what you paid for that car.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it happened at the Cars and Coffee on Sunday as well.
Did it really?
Another guy was like, wow, that's pretty cool. You don't see these. And I don't like to play games. I'm not a game player.
Neither one of us are, but this is an opportunity.
Have to insist. And so I said to this guy, all right. You know, you're looking at the car, you like it, guess, how much? He's like, wow, well, I don't know, like 25, 30? Nope.
Yep.
I'm watching people's brains stop. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun.
It's very fun. I mean, granted, currently they're running, so that might change.
Well,
They pulled the Phaeton off the transporter, and you guys have watched on Instagram and on Facebook, there was a little video that I cut together real quick of the delivery and me climbing in the trunk and other absurdities. So that exists. But when they pulled the Phaeton off the transport, and you were shooting a bunch of stuff around it, the guy that was pulling off the transport looked at me and he goes, he's shooting that thing like it's a Rolls Royce. And I said, we're shooting it on purpose. And I explained what we were doing.
Yeah.
And now he was intrigued. So he asked me what I paid for the Phaeton. And he looked at me dumbfounded when I told him $5,000. And I said, you see that Maserati over there? I said, that's the other one we got. And there were actually two trucker guys together. And so the other guy said, well, that was probably what, 25, 30? And I said, no. And I told him. And they both looked at me. And one of them said, I'll give you that right now. I'll give you that for it right now.
You're
and I
kidding
said, nope,
me.
It's staying. We need it. So it's happening already. It's very, very funny. Thank you guys for all of your support of this madness.
Absolutely.
The madness is here. It is beginning. The videos are happening already. They are coming out soon. We should talk about something other than big, ridiculous sedans, like Mustangs that are actually SUVs.
Big, ridiculous, large,
how about that?
Electric EVs that have just been revealed.
Can we just wait? It's like, you know what this is? It's like a hot tub of grenades. It's not even, it's not a room full of rakes. It's a hot tub of grenades. That's my new term right there.
You're absolutely right. All right. Well, this is the time to be talking about it. Until Todd and I drive it and put it on camera for some sort of driving, it's either a TV episode or YouTube or both or something in the future. But it's been revealed, everyone.
And you watched the full reveal, didn't you?
I did. The Mustang Mach-E. And I just took some screen captures from the reveal just remind myself of what went on and kind of, all right, so this is actually happening. Okay. And then as it was being live streamed, the comments over in the right column, the live stream comments were hilarious. Some were foul, some were crass, some were not that funny, but the best ones, one guy said, I feel like I'm watching the Mustang's funeral. Like, that's going in. Another person said, they're showing us all the history they're throwing away for an SUV. As, you know, the classic Mustang film went by.
Well, and didn't they have somebody there with the last name McQueen?
They did. Molly. Molly is an actress. She's the granddaughter of Steve.
Uh-huh.
And she was there along with our friend Billy Johnson, who we just saw at SEMA. So he's a pro racer. And Ben Collins, you know, is the Stig. And they are all Ken Block's crew.
So it was of course they are.
Ken Block
they met Ken
talking
this afternoon.
To the head engineer.
They met Ken this afternoon before we filmed this.
Exactly. And so Todd was grinding his teeth against casting. So, you know, this is Ken's crew, which was great and well selected, though, because
of course
all of these relate, and they relate in yes. different ways.
Molly, here's the thing. All these people I don't know Molly McQueen. I haven't seen her work. She may be the world's greatest actress. She is there for last name recognition.
She is. She
That's
is.
The entire reason she's there.
It was just funny because, you know, people yeah. started to make comments about Ken, and, well, Ken looks bored. Show the Bronco. Gee, where'd you get the idea for that center screen? Two people said, somebody said, if I can't play Fortnite in the car, then I'm not buying it. Another person said, have I just woken up from a coma and it's April 1st? And the best one ever is dot, dot, dot. And Elon jumps out.
You know, the one, I've had a thought, and I don't, I hesitate to say it's a supportive thought, but I have a thought on this entire naming convention and calling this a Mustang.
Okay. I want to get to this because we've had a lot of people write to us
yes,
good questions.
Many tons of questions about it. And I want you to unpack it further than I will because you actually watched the reveal and I was editing something, so I did not.
It's all good.
Here's the thing I'm pondering. Somebody or somebodies at Ford have been like research paper style studying Tesla. And I'm not saying that because of the center screen. I say that because the thing about Tesla in the market is everyone has an opinion on their cars, generally favorable, but everyone has an opinion, a strong opinion. And can you tell me the last Tesla commercial you saw?
Oh, that's a great point.
You can't because they don't make them.
That's
because what they're great at is getting everybody talking while they spend $0 on marketing. And everyone's talking about it. We talk about it. Everybody talks about it. They don't do media buys. They don't advertise on the Super Bowl. I mean, traditionally, a company like Tesla that's trying to make a splash, where's your Super Bowl commercial? They don't do them.
Shoot cars in outer space instead.
Elon does a big reveal and has some crazy tweet, and this is what they do for marketing. So Ford is watching. And I say it not only because of what's going on with the car, but think about this for a second. By calling this the Mustang, it guarantees coverage. Guarantees it. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad.
That's true. That's very true.
You and I are talking about it already for the second time. We haven't even put our eyes on this thing yet.
Yeah,
no kidding. About it for the second time already.
No kidding.
Everyone listening right now already has a strong opinion about it.
I hope so.
None of us have seen it in person. And we all had this same strong opinion before we even saw the photos and the reveal. This is the genius of calling it Mustang. I'm not saying I like it, but this is the score of it because they are going to get buried in press for this new vehicle. If they had called it anything else and it was their electric SUV, it would have gotten covered by some, forgotten by many, and the only real proponents of it would be the people that are like, I actually want a cheap Ford SUV electric car. But now everyone's talking about it because it also has the name, for better and worse, Mustang.
No, you've exactly touched on the point. Actually, I read an article over at Motor1.com from John Neff, and he was talking about Ford has done the best thing ever by calling it the Mustang and then whatever they want to call it after that.
So I'm not alone, you're saying.
You're not alone. And he was saying, the point was of the article was that Ford is trading on the Mustang brand name to help it stand out against the competition. Because we have discussed about brand names and new model naming conventions from almost every car manufacturer at this point, whether it's the EQC, and he brings up the I-Pace and a lot of other new electric SUVs. And he says, well, how do you differentiate this in a sea of new electric SUVs? You call it the Mustang whatever. It's called the Mach-E in this case, but you call it the Mustang such and such and such. And people take note and they go, Mustang? What is this?
Or they're outraged, but they're still talking.
So they have an opinion.
Yes.
However, contrary to that is people like new. You and I were just talking about having a new car experience and liking the new.
Sure.
That's a lot of why we buy stuff. In any category, we buy stuff. You're bummed, you're frustrated, you're angry, you're upset, you're happy. We buy stuff.
We do. We do.
So people like new. So it feels like unless you're going to be, you know, looking at the heritage of the car, which Ford tried to do with video when, you know, people were castigating the video and saying, oh, you know, look how they've sold out.
I don't think that
they were trying to tie
helps,
it together.
Honestly, I don't feel like that helps,
and
but okay.
I don't either, but I think contrary to that is people like new. They like the new name of the new car, and I want the new car, and it's this new thing that I've never heard of. I like that, or I don't like that, or whatever that is, thereby leaving Mustang alone.
Okay.
Now, I do take your point, because it's all anybody can talk about.
Yes.
For a while, it was Supra, then it was the Corvette C8, and now it's all anybody can talk about.
Now it's Mustang SUV.
But yeah. I do have some points, some discussion points for everyone to think about okay. as we get closer to driving this, even though it's not supposed to be out until the end of 2020.
Are they having?
We're way ahead of ourselves.
I'm expecting to see it at LA Auto Show this week.
It'll be at the LA Auto Show for sure.
Crawl around in it.
But as far as cars being built and available.
Yeah, of course not. No, for a while.
Chassis and platform. Yeah. So I know what's bugging me. I know what it is. I want you to look at the photos and look at the proportion. The wheelbase is slightly too long. And I looked it up. It's 3 inches too long.
Okay.
It's 117-inch wheelbase.
Okay.
The new Cayenne is 114. The Cayenne proportionally looks right.
Oh, okay.
117 is just like, okay, it's this new shape, but it's a little bit too long. It's like a shopping cart kind of. That's a little weird. What is bugging me? And that's it. It's the wheelbase is slightly too long. And I know why they did it, to pack more space.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. It's all in the, I'm sure it's all in the rear leg room, to be honest with
you. It is. It is. And also the tumble home, it's too upright. It's like a cargo van.
Yeah.
So I can tell this was designed and sketched from a side view to be Mustang-y.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the tall hood.
I don't think it's Mustang-y enough, honestly.
Well, here's the deal. Every styling trick in the book was thrown at this car.
Yeah.
I see it walking around the car and just looking at the pictures. I walked around it, but just
In
my mind,
we're about to. We are tomorrow, in fact.
We are. So the sweeping roofline shape, you start at the base of the A-pillar, up over the driver's head, and go all the way to the back. You see that line?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a roofline shape, and you think, wait, how are people in the back seat going to get in it?
Yeah.
So the roof on all of them is actually raised. So you see that painted line, but the roof itself is black. And if you look at it, it's actually raised. That's where the headspace is, the headroom for the backseat passengers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then that,
see what you're doing?
That ends, it terminates in the spoiler up there. So you see the line, whatever color that'll be.
The follow-through line, and then they've cheated it with actual headroom.
And then the headroom is actually, and so on all, I predict this, on all Mach-E's from here on out, that roof will never be body color because it'll look strange.
Interesting. It'll look bigger, yeah.
Blacking things out is the signature thing. So look at the rocker. And look at the rocker shape. So it's obviously flat across the bottom, but then that shape actually reduces the height of the body side.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah.
So it looks a little bit more pinched and a little bit. It's actually pretty tall body
side. The Macan does the same thing. Hell, heck, the Lotus Evora does that.
A lot of cars do. The Evora is a great example.
It's got a huge pinch
and
point.
And it looks pinched and you
looks,
know, a
makes
narrow
it look
waist.
Really, really Coke bottle shape from the side because it's actually a big black shape there. Yeah.
This is a tall SUV.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So how about the wheel arches? Sketches are drawn with like 30-inch wheels. It just looks good on a sketch. But when it comes time to building it and putting wheels and tires that are actually affordable, so the wheel arch openings are blacked out. Now, they're not on GTs and probably subsequent Mach-Es. However, on the base models, it's a blacked out wheel arch, which makes it visually look like a bigger wheel opening.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There's no openings on the front of this car. There's none. So that question that we've all wondered about, electric cars don't need the traditional air cooling. What will they look like? Like
there you
this.
Go. This is what they look
it
like.
It appears like they've got openings and air intakes, but they're just black panels inside a traditional looking design. So it's helping us sort of warm up to the car, and it looks like a car instead of just a, you know, you're hearing Billy Idol, aren't you? Eyes without a face,
like
the Teslas?
I don't think it's Mustang enough.
I agree.
Styling-wise, I don't think it's nearly Mustang enough.
Okay, to continue.
What if this were called the Explorer?
Okay, great point. I'll touch on that point right
now.
What if they want to do an Explorer and they want to make it electric? Which one do we buy?
Yeah.
They're going to be about the same size, so will one just get better range and it can maybe tow more than a feather?
Yeah.
And that's my differentiator, and the Explorer will be 20 grand more? Which one do I buy? They're going to be about the same size. They'll probably drive the same. It'll probably be the same chassis. And what? Okay.
Yeah.
Are they cannibalizing future sales of the electric SUV anything because they've made the Mustang into an SUV?
I think that's an interesting point.
How about if this Mustang, this electric Mustang, were a coupe to compete against the Model S and the Taycan? How about like a coupe-like sedan, I'll say.
Not an SUV.
Not an SUV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If it's an SUV, doesn't it need to have something up its sleeve? Like the Cayenne can go off-road. There's been no mention of off-road anything about this thing. They've showed it on, you know, a little bit of pea gravel. But other than that, Cayennes can genuinely go off-road. There you go. They're showing it. I'm looking Todd's showing the, me a photo
the
on his
Mustang
laptop here.
Family from the yeah. actual Ford site.
The family. And, there's only two.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, there it is sitting with the Mustang. Mm-hmm. And it's not nearly Mustang enough.
Which is why I don't think it should have been called Mustang. And again, people like the new. They are, yeah. if they like the car, it almost doesn't matter what the name of the car is. If you like it and it drives well enough, it's okay. It's the brand new such
the,
and such.
The
great.
Kia Telluride.
Here we go.
Nobody has ever called a car the Telluride before.
Here we go.
Is that a great name? Could be debated. But it is an actual place that's never had a name, which means the IP was available. Mm-hmm. You can get the website. You can do the naming convention. You can do it.
Yep.
You can do it. It was available.
Yep.
Okay. Hyundai Palisade. Clearly nobody's ever called it that either. So these are new names. But the interesting thing about the Kia Telluride, to your point, is they've done a superb SUV. So mm-hmm. I don't care that's called the I don't care what it's called.
Right.
Let's just go drive that because you know what? It's good.
Cayennes can drive up a 74-degree incline.
We've done it.
It's can crazy. This? Highly doubtful.
Well, don't, yeah.
So it's an SUV without touching on all the things that modern SUVs should kind of be able to do.
Yeah, I don't get the sense this is an off-roader. This
Nothing
is,
about it
this
is off-road.
It's all the other ones. It's the Kona. It's the I-Pace. It's the Model X. You don't buy any
well, that's
of those
my
for
point.
Their off-road capability.
If it's not, okay, fine. But justify its tall packaging proportions and SUV-like existence.
Because we're Ford and all we make
especially
is SUVs.
Especially if you're calling it a Mustang.
I agree with you. There I totally
so
agree.
So yep. It's a tall SUV. It doesn't go off-road, and you're calling it a Mustang, which is the best-selling sports car of all time at this point, according to Ford. And
mm-hmm. yeah.
they've made the most, and it's yeah. associated with freedom and sports car and drag racing and all this stuff. What's this over here? I'm sorry? What? I think there's going to be people who are embracing the tech. Here's my problem. Mm. I'm in that camp.
Mm.
Because
you are,
when
you are
Ford,
about tech, for sure. Yeah.
Sorry, when Porsche brings out the electric Cayman, mm-hmm. am I supposed to hate it or am I going to have to embrace it?
Mm.
Yes. Yeah. I'm probably going to be loving
you,
loving
you're going to be paddling through that pool of Porsche
yeah.
for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we want to drive the Taycan. Taycan didn't yeah. exist as a name. Neither no. did Cayenne or Macan. Mm-hmm. And they're all great and we just accept them because they're the new name of the thing.
Yeah.
Fine with that. It wasn't like the tall 911. Yeah. The Panamera is not like the four-door 911, even though we call it that. That's not what Porsche named
it. The 911L for lift.
Oh,
yeah.
gosh.
Yeah, it's a 911L. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
I like that a lot, yeah. actually. So, obviously, remains to be seen. We got to drive this thing, and it'll be driven against everything. But has Ford created the ultimate rideshare car?
We keep saying that about electric cars. I mean, here's the thing. I think this is going to genuinely sell. But I do think they've kind of set fire to part of their history to do it. And I think I think they've set fire to it.
I almost think they're obligated to do so.
I think they've set fire to it entirely to draw attention.
Hmm.
I don't think they did it willy-nilly. Yeah. I don't think they did it without thinking about what it is. But I think they did it because they so want to grab eyeballs and interest at a level that they can't pay for. So they need discussion. And how do you start discussion? You get somebody that gets everybody's hackles up, pro and con. So we'll call it Mustang because there is pretty much no more vaunted name in the history of Ford. So let's do that. Speaking of Ford.
We have to touch on this.
Ford versus Ferrari.
Spoiler alert, everyone. Yeah. We did see the movie. So if you have not yes. seen Ford versus Ferrari yet, please stop now and jump ahead. We have seen the movie and are talking about it now. Spoiler alert.
I find
alert.
It interesting that the executives at Ford do not come off well in that film. And we've just come off a discussion about what executives are deciding to do at Ford.
Yeah.
There's an interesting reality of I'm wondering if anybody at Ford pondered the fact that there was a convergence here.
I'm wondering if they timed the release of the Mach-E to this movie because everybody's talking about Ford right now. Here's the new thing.
The only way it's not a spoiler alert is the fact that it is a movie based on history. So
it is.
The Ford versus Ferrari competition for Le Mans, most car people have at least heard about this. I'm not going to go into serious depth. I have two quick things I want to say because I okay. thoroughly enjoyed it.
It was awesome.
I thoroughly enjoyed
it. Awesome.
They did a really good job of integrating digital with practical. There's a lot of shots where the other cars in the frame aren't really there. There's a lot of shots where the entire shot is digital. There's one I can remember in the rain specifically where they fly in from kind of where the carousel normally is, the big Ferris wheel at Le Mans, kind of where that now is modern. So off in the kind of infield, they fly in from there through the rain, down over the pits, up to right behind the exhaust pipes of the car. That's an all digital shot.
Sure.
Folks. Everything about that is digital.
Super cool.
But it looks very super, super real, hyper real, and it does look realistic. And then they'll have a practical shot, and the car is going by digital cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they're counting on you. And I'm a guy that looks at things like this. They're counting on your eyes to be only on the hero car so you don't notice that the other cars are digital. They were digital. All very cool. I say this because it's really, really well shot, as it should be. It's great to see a big budget movie shooting cars very, very well.
It's hard to do car movies. It seems like every car movie since Le Mans has just been a cheese fest.
Well, but here's the thing, though.
Fast and Furious notwithstanding. But it just seems like, what was the Sylvester Stallone, what was that called?
The drive-driven thing that you hate so much.
Blocked out of my mind.
Drivel, yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
But honestly, here's the thing. Le Mans is next to impossible to get through. I know everybody talks about how awesome it is, but it's essentially a racing documentary that forgot that it's supposed to have a plot. Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
It's really well shot, but the problem is that a lot of times car movies don't end up much about cars. Like, I just saw The Art of Racing in the Rain recently, and there are things about it that are good and bad compared to the book. I love the book. I did thoroughly enjoy that, but there were definitely things that had to be changed. That is about cars and lots of other things.
Sure.
This is very focused on people that love cars, people that build cars, people that race cars. And they found good storylines and drama in it. And the one other thing I want to say about it really quickly, and then I'll leave it because I could go for a while. My favorite thing in it is the father-son story. Because I am a sucker for father-son stories. And that carries off into the other thing that is the kind of extension of that, is if it's not father-son, it's man and mentor. And
sure,
I could go off on there's a whole separate diatribe about culturally, I feel like we don't have a structure of mentoring men anymore.
Sure.
You used to have – I'm going to go there very briefly – used to have the Native American Braves. You had a rite of passage into manhood. The Aborigines did it. All the kind of original people had a passage into manhood. That doesn't exist now. You turned 21 and you went and got a drink legally, but you've been drinking for – you see what I'm saying? Where's the rite of passage? It doesn't exist.
Sure.
So I love it when there are good mentoring happening of men. I think about it with my own son. But this has a really interesting father-son story. I don't know what the real story was between Ken Miles and his son, Peter, but the one in this movie is excellent and compelling, and I just enjoyed that very much.
I felt excited and proud and amazed by the story and the drama pulled out of.
They did a really good job making a story out of it.
The corporate versus the independent.
The actual company Ford is simultaneously the hero and the villain. Because you think
excellent point.
Ford's going to be the hero, Ferrari's going to be the villain. Not really. It's really the Ken Miles and Carroll Shelby story, and they're stuck in the middle between the two.
Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen it, it's excellent. It's dramatic. There's emotion involved. And, of course, it gives us everything that we want to see as far as cars. There's a lot of cars in it.
It's awesome. It's really cool.
The weather's changing, but the sun is still out, and it's baking your car's interior.
Luckily, all you need is a custom sunscreen from our friends at Covercraft. They're awesome. They're amazing. These foldable sunscreens fit perfectly in the windshield of your car and keep your car cooler when you're off enjoying the sunshine.
These custom sunscreens come in a variety of colors, and they're an affordable and simple way to keep your car cooler in the summer and protected from damaging UV rays all year long.
We swear by our custom sunscreens. I love it. It's one of our very favorite car accessories. Remember, you can get 10% off your car sunscreen by using the code EVERYDAY right now at covercraft.com, or you can follow the link from our sponsors page.
You might not be buying a car right now, but you're probably still looking. We're all looking all the time, and it seems like there's always a new place to search. That's why we love autotempest.com.
With Auto Tempest, you can only enter your search one time and see results from Cars.com, eBay, all of Craigslist, and many more. Or you can jump to Auto Trader or Car Gurus without entering anything new. Your same search on a new site.
So if you're looking for fun or you need a car right now, don't search all over. Start at Autotempest.com. All the cars, one search. Doug W. in Ohio writes to us wanting to know, what is the inexpensive executive image? He's talking about his current lineup, which is a 14 Jeep Grand Cherokee, 110,000 miles.
Yep.
And he says, when I bought it, I had a longer commute, but have since started working from home, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, cool.
He only drives about 5,000 miles a year, so it's adequate at this point. So he's thinking, all right, if I need to take clients out and I need, you know, just short drives, but it's still got to be good for the kids, what do I get? What's out there?
Yeah, yeah. His wife already has the big family hauler Salt. She has a Volkswagen Atlas, and which also makes him think, wait a minute, hang on. I don't want two SUVs in the garage. So he'd like to leave his SUV behind, but he still wants four-door, four seats, automatic.
And a cool sports car, and it's electric. Ford has just introduced the...
But then we got SUV back. Moving on. No, but he's hoping to wind up in something that he can find fun, but again, has this executive image, can still carry kids. Mm-hmm. His wife could still drive if need be, but he doesn't want to do SUV and SUV, so no crossovers, none of that. He is 6'4". So we have to think about sizing here.
Yes, and we've noticed people have been writing to us saying, it seems like everybody featured in your car debates is really tall. It's only because the tall people call up their height, even though there have been a few
that you have written
for your wives and say, my wife is 5'1", or I'm 5'9".
People,
It's funny. When you're tall, you just think, well, I need to let the guys know.
Well, because that's a problem. If here's the thing. If you're 5'8 to 5'10", you fit in everything.
Pretty much.
You just do. You fit in everything.
It's like you wear sample size 9 and we're good. You fit in everything.
So as a result, the folks that fit in every car they get in never mention to us how tall they are because
exactly.
They just fit.
They just fit.
But yeah. Right. The carryover here is he's 6'4". And he had to talk about it. So that's happening. So I totally get it. You want some decent headroom. You don't like your head touching the headliner, which, I've done that in the Lotus every time I've ever driven it. When I put a helmet on, it's all bad. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. He has looked at the usual suspects. His two that he specifically calls out, of course, are the 3 Series
and the
A4. But he's shopping with about $25,000 to spend, and he's going, what am I overlooking, or what should I be looking at that I'm not?
Doug, I didn't think your email would be quite as difficult when I first started reading it, because you were saying executive image, and all these cars popped in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said $25,000.
Got harder, yeah.
There was a bit of, screeching to the brakes, and like, So it got harder and harder the more I read, because as Todd said, you like that 3 Series Gran Turismo. You were starting with Hyundai Genesis G80, you were thinking, Honda Accord, somewhere in that range, but because getting away from the SUV and you wanted something smaller, a physical smaller shape garage, which is a dichotomy or I don't know. It is
weird to head that way, but here he goes.
A strange thing to think executive, luxurious.
But can we go smaller?
Yeah. Smaller, but only $25,000. So I thought, this got really hard.
It did. It got more difficult for sure.
Although I do have your car, Doug. I've got a few.
Yeah.
All right. So he's slyly pointed out Panameras to his wife, and he says...
Which is very telling.
I've talked about my next car. Hey, look at that nice Panamera. But he doesn't want to find out how much Porsche parts cost.
Well, and he's also concerned about the Panamera he could buy for $25,000. That's the other
part.
That
is a little concerning.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a little concerning. All right, so needing a 2015 or newer, 50,000 miles or less, and because of snowy Ohio winters, he's wanting all-wheel drive. Mm-hmm. He says, this is arguable, not an absolute must, but it's on his mind.
Yeah.
It's got to be an automatic transmission. He says, no CVT unless I can't tell it's a CVT.
Which just means no CVT.
Which means CVTs are out the door.
Yeah.
Reliability is a priority, but not necessarily at the expense of everything else. Don't buy a Maserati. I mean, Maseratis are good ones are $25,000, but anyway.
Yeah, cheap ones are 10, but then you're actually just driving, holding your breath, which gets awkward.
So much anxiety with that car. Anyway, I'm stressed and sweating. All right, luxury appearance with sporty dynamics, he says. A sedan profile with a hatch might be the sweet spot.
Okay.
Comfortable front seat and enough back seat space for a couple of car seats because he's waiting until, his kids are not kicking the back of the seat anymore.
Ideally.
Ideally.
Things do get better. You can get
the seat
covers.
Around and
back. Covercraft's got covers for you.
Exactly.
Back seat covers. Don't do what I did and discover that when your kid is big enough to actually stop kicking the back. Get them now. Just
exactly.
Embrace it. Get them now. Honestly, when we were at SEMA, we went by the Covercraft booth, and they always have got a Jeep there with every product they make.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm just side note. The back seat covers are heavy duty.
Oh, they're awesome. Yeah.
You could throw sharp things at it. Don't, by the way. But you could throw sharp things the back of your seat and it'd be fine. That can stand
up
to any
toddler
on the
planet. On tools and all that kind of stuff.
But anyway, So keep that in mind. The everyday code does still work. You could get something with nice back seats, like the back of your seats are nice, and you could just defend it until the kids stop kicking.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so back to these usual suspects of the 3 Series, the A4. These are starting points.
Yeah, yeah.
And, Doug, I thought about A7s. I found you a 2013 Audi A7 Premium Plus, 58,000 miles for $23,989, which means you'd take 23.
It's a good one, for sure.
But then I realized that's too big.
Mm-hmm. That was my concern with the
A7. Every bit as big as that Atlas, as far as length.
It was my concern with the A7, too, yeah.
And of course, the Kia Stinger crossed my mind, but for 25 grand, I think you'd need to wait because you're going to want the GT2 with the all-wheel drive.
But here's the thing. Shop smart for those. That's on my list. Shop smart for those. You're going to find one that is used that's going to you're going to still really like.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
The top of your budget is the bottom of that market.
Fair enough. And it's only continuing in that direction,
yeah,
which
for
is
sure,
good.
For sure, yeah.
However, Doug, I found your car. It is the 2018 Acura TLX.
Hmm.
290 horsepower V6, super duper handling all-wheel drive with the tech package. And the reason I say 2018 or newer is because of the styling. Hmm. That's when they revised the beak.
Yep, it's now
better.
The shield.
It's,
yeah.
It's not now the beak.
Yeah, yeah. That's how it got better. It's no longer the beak.
10,000 miles for $24,799.
All right, I see it.
Fathom Blue Pearl, and it's a 9-speed genuine automatic. I think you should really take a strong look.
You're doing the heavy-duty 290 horsepower guy, right?
290 horsepower V6.
Okay. Yeah, the V6. Good.
10,000 miles, which means it was either a one-year lease or it was probably a dealer demo car or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks gorgeous. 2018 and newer, and it does have good handling. These Acuras are actually really surprisingly
good. They do a good job.
It's a luxury car, so it gives you the amenities. And this one has the tech package, so you're going to connect. Everything's great. Under $25,000, it's all-wheel drive, smaller sedan. I think you're done shopping, Doug.
You found the car. You just want to send him the link.
Exactly.
Like,
it's not one
link.
Like it. It's this
you
one.
You found the car.
Yes.
All right. I like that a lot. That's excellent. I did not go there. I'm quite impressed. I'm now kind of rethinking my own thoughts. Kind of.
All right.
I want to run through. You did sedan. I want to run through two sedans that unfortunately, I'm not sure how soon you're shopping. They start where your budget ends. But if you go a year or two old, then you have a different conversation. Now, these are traditional sedans. Alfa Giulia in any flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Fun.
Yes.
Great to drive.
Yes, yes.
You can get it all-wheel drive. Great in any flavor. And you said the Genesis G80. You should be looking at the Genesis G70.
Yeah, G70. Yeah.
The problem is those start at about 33, 35 and go up. But that is a great, great car. So consider the Genesis G70. I think it and the Alfa Giulia base are both excellent. But when you talked about the Panamera turning your head, that got me going down a wagon thinking.
Okay.
And I thought for a minute about the Volkswagen Sport Wagon, but I actually don't think it's nice enough. I don't think it's executive enough for what you want. I think it checks a lot of other boxes.
1983 Mercedes 300D?
I'm going to go with no on that, but it's a good thought. You don't want an A7. You can get the A5 Sportback. You said you don't think it's in your budget. I found multiple. I looked nationwide. And again, we shop crazy because look at what we buy.
exactly.
But I shop nationwide.
Credibility is out the window
now. Quite a few for between 25 and 30. You said your budget's 25.
Yeah,
I pushed it just a bit. But we are talking the A5 Sportwagon. It is smaller in total scale. It has the hatch usability that the A4 doesn't have.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's a real sweet spot for you instead of the A7. And then I do agree with your Kia Stinger.
Do you think it's too big, though?
Maybe. But the fact that he's looking at the Panamera means we're still talking good-sized cars.
Okay.
So my big thinking on the Stinger is, Doug, you at least need to go drive it.
I'm curious
if it's too big. I think it might be. I think the A5 Sportwagon is compelling here. I actually like your Acura a lot. But the problem with the G70 is the prices haven't come down enough. The Stinger's been out longer. And it has the crazy hatch. It has the sedan look,
it's
but the hatchback.
It's so great. It's so great.
So give that a drive. I know we keep saying it because we keep being surprised by not only how good it is, but people keep coming up to us and going, I just drove the Stinger, and oh, man.
saying, welcome.
Good. Yeah,
welcome
for sure. So anyway, hopefully that helps, Doug.
Guys, write to us with your own debate. Keep the debates coming. Love to hear what you're thinking about buying. If it's a second, third, or you've got a garage in Manhattan to fill that's across the river.
We keep hitting on that. Yeah.
Please write to us with your debate at everydaydrivertv@gmail.com or on the website under the About tab, top right corner. You can say contact us, and that goes right to our email as well.
Yep.
Like I said, you can write to us what's on your mind, what's going on in your life. Love to hear from you guys.
For sure.
And,
we read them all.
Love the interaction, for sure. But mostly your debates. And don't forget car conclusions. We're continuing to do car conclusions.
For sure.
Depending on whether you've heard it on the podcast or not, please tell us what you've written and what inspired you. What led you to that purchasing decision?
It's not just stuff we covered here. We want to hear from you either way. It'd be great to hear it.
For sure. So please send your car debates. We're jumping to social media questions, and I am tackling the one on Facebook from Terrence Cooley,
uh-oh,
who says, what wines
oh, wow,
or appropriate beverage best capture the texture of the Quattroporte and the Phaeton?
Oh, no.
Terrence?
If you just said wine, can we do watches and whiskey? Going to do it all while you're here?
I might. Anyway, go on. If I'm not held back. But I'm going with wine.
Okay.
The Quattroporte, the QP5, is a Brunello di Montalcino or a Chianti. These are wines that are complex, they're expensive, they're pleasant to look at, and they're not to be kept for very long. On the other hand, the Phaeton is a Riesling.
Uh-oh.
It has a high acidity.
Okay.
Certain Rieslings have a petrol note associated with kerosene or lubricants or rubber from high sun exposure.
Yeah, that's appropriate.
And they're known to be a late harvest known as noble rot, or, you know, for rotting grapes.
Wow, you like the Phaeton a lot. I'm impressed with how much you like the Phaeton. Actually, one of the things, this is the second car in a row I've bought without seeing it until they pulled it off the truck.
Mm.
I have concluded I don't like this experience.
I know you don't.
Okay?
I'm sorry.
It's working, but I don't like this experience because you end up seeing something that, for whatever reason, they either A, never thought to photograph, or B, never thought to mention or check. And
yeah,
in the case of this Phaeton, which has actually been maintained pretty well, and a shout out to Andrew for helping with the test drive, the thing about it is that all of the buttons in the ceiling, think about 2000s, the rubberized material on buttons in the 2000s.
It's like the soft touch paint
exactly.
from BMW and
that
Volkswagen.
That all went bad.
Yeah.
This Phaeton has clearly sat outside a lot in Florida, and all of the buttons on the roof are melted to the point they have bubbled. And so you cannot read any of the buttons on the roof. And they all have now a tacky texture. It's not just soft touch. It's now tacky. And so my son's like reaching up for those. Like, no, don't touch those.
Dust. Fragile.
You'll pull the whole button down.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it does right now because I can't read it. But please don't touch it.
Well, it's like the sticky goo Italian stuff on the Maserati and Ferrari interiors. Yeah. Did you know there is an entire business dedicated to the replacement of buttons in the F355? Because they all get gummy and sticky, and it's like, you know, you touch it and you black stuff all over your fingers.
And now no longer on the button. Yeah.
And so there's a business dedicated solely to replacing buttons, and it's the same material in the Maserati. So I feel your pain, even though this one didn't sit outside as much.
It clearly didn't sit outside.
It's still like
the roof baked
in
Florida.
Gummy and sticky and weird. Doesn't feel too good.
Yeah, anyway. But this is the problem with a $5,000 car. I'm okay with it, I think. Do we recommend, Answar is asking this question, do we recommend taking the car we drive daily to the track? We talked about this before. We talked about it driving your paycheck. In fact, I think that was a podcast title where we talked about it a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always caution here. If you're going to go to the track a lot, if you're going to really push hard on your car, you need a car that's probably not the car that you use your paycheck. You go to work in it on Monday. It needs to be the extra car, where you have other transport, okay?
The extra car.
But
that's nice.
If you're the same kind of person, though, that you're going to do, you know what, I'm going to do a couple autocrosses and I may do a track day or two this year, drive your normal car.
Mm-hmm.
There's that amount of tracking isn't going to be the death blow on your car. Regular constant tracking can be too hard for you to also do with your daily. I hope that's walking the line fine enough.
EST Vicentius under Instagram said, can I talk about my immediate reaction upon discovering the CDs in that Maserati? Well, here's how it all went down. We were in the car after just buying it. And Chance and Todd are sort of like, we'll play something on the radio. Let's see if it worked. Let's see if it sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a CD changer. I wonder where it's located. As it turns out, it's underneath the steering column real low.
Yes.
It's a flappy panel, just spring-loaded, and the CD changer is right there. So I thought, all right.
Under the steering column. Ponder that
for
a second.
Like deep down under.
Yes.
Panel opens. And so instead of pushing play, I pushed eject because I wanted to see what was in there.
Yes.
So it was fully loaded with all six discs. Mm-hmm. And I started pushing eject and I was driving. So I was pulling them out and handing them to Todd.
Yes.
And he was reading them off. You know, both the guys were cackling.
This is the reason I posted the photo. I think it was a five. Is it six discs? I thought we only pulled five out of
there. Oh, maybe it was just five.
Either way, there were five discs in there. Four of them I posted on Instagram because you've got to be kidding. And the fifth disc was the Maserati mix, which, as I've said before,
there was a little Fleetwood Mac on there.
No, the Maserati mix was only two things. It was Fleetwood Mac and show tunes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So it was the only one that was not a complete album.
I want to throw it away, but the guys have convinced me to leave it with the car.
That has to stay with the car. Indefinitely stay with the car.
It needs a new Maserati mix, don't you think?
Meanwhile, the Phaeton has a six-disc changer in the glove box.
Oh, yeah, right.
And this is the newest, coolest technology my son has ever seen. He's never even dealt with a CD player ever in his life because he's 10, and why would he? Okay? Oh, all right? Think about the fact that this 2004 Phaeton was created 3 years before the iPhone and about 2.5, 3 years after the iPod.
Oh, okay? My gosh.
My son, who was born almost 10 years ago, has never dealt with CDs. DVDs and Blu-rays, yes, but we've never had CDs in our house for music ever.
You don't need them anymore.
Exactly. So the fact totally that it has a disc changer, he is fascinated by the eject process and the button select process and that I get to pick this disc now and I'm going to jump tracks. He's fascinated by the whole thing. So
I can't wait till he graduates to tape decks.
I had to dig around my house and find the 3 or 4 CDs I even had buried around somewhere, blow dust off them just to see that the thing worked. And he's fascinated.
No
by CD
way.
Changer, which is very, very funny.
Because it's mechanical and it's a physical piece of something that you interact with.
Yeah, he's just
whereas
totally
your phone,
intrigued
it's just,
by it.
It's all digital.
Yeah, so we're trying to break that. I mean, we're trying to use that now. Yeah.
That's fascinating. All right, what else here? Oh, DR Zerker says, the non-car enthusiasts in his office think the Mach-E is the new Mustang. They don't understand that this is also a Mustang. They think it's a replacement. Well, yeah. I mean, my question is, how far did you take that one with your coworkers?
Yeah,
that's all bad. It's going to be tough to explain because you know you have to take 10 minutes to explain the history of the Mustang and the special editions and the movies that it's been used in and what it means to car enthusiasts around the world. And then hopefully your office workers will be like, "Oh, so you're saying this isn't a Mustang?" Like, bingo.
We'll see.
You win the dinette set.
Cars and Comments says, hey man, how are you? He says, is it wrong to have zero interest in electric cars? He's tried them. He's driven them. He's trying to keep up in mind. He just doesn't like them. And he says he feels like he's coming up against a demeanor that if you don't love EVs, you don't love electric cars, you're living in the past and you need to fix it. You need to get over it and love them. Okay. Remember that hot tub of grenades? I'm just wading on in.
Yikes.
The thing is, there's a lot of discussion that is very black and white about electric cars versus gasoline cars. And it's going to get worse. I hate to say it, but there will be a place at which those of us that like gasoline cars, there will be a segment, not saying overall, but there will be a segment of the populace that looks at us like we are evil for liking those cars. It's going to happen.
Probably.
I'm sorry, but we're headed that way.
Probably.
We're all doing something that's making the planet a little bit worse. Pick your poison. Mine happens to be cars, okay? I'm making the planet a little bit worse because I love gasoline-burning cars. So Cars and Comments, I'm right there with you on that. Having said that, the other side of the equation is that everything's going to go electric. Haven't you heard? It's all going to go. It's going to be like electric in 5 years. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
So we're going to have right tool for the job happening and transitions happening for a while. For example, there's electric buses that drive around Park City. Greatest thing ever. Fantastic. Why do they still have any diesel ones in the fleet?
Let's
get all electric buses. They've got electric bikes that are available for people to grab. Awesome, let's do that. I mean, there's going to be more and more of a city situation where electric cars make sense, should make sense. Let's embrace them. We're going to get into cars have always been cars. And while we've got tools for the job within that, do we have a sports car, do we have an SUV, we haven't had these are the cars that are only for these purposes. There are places where EVs are great, phenomenal. And I think we're going to start having people that have got a garage with both of the above.
I do too.
We as enthusiasts, I have seriously considered getting a BMW i3.
Yeah, I know you've talked about it.
Just because I can get it. If I want to just run to the grocery store real quick, why not just hop in an electric car?
Sure.
And I live in the mountains. I'm not even to worry about traffic. If you're dealing in a traffic scenario, let's get the right tool for the job. And in many ways, that is an electric car. It doesn't mean let's all stop liking gasoline cars. I think you can like both, but it's about finding the strengths of the cars and let's play to the strengths. We don't need to have a one-size-fits-all scenario here.
You know, I've been thinking about electricians lately with all the electric cars.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about electricians and if there were some independent shop or, you know, you've got 2 or 3 locations, something like that, and they came up with a package that would be the inverter for people's houses. So it's, you know, maybe they already have. Maybe I'm, you know, I just haven't seen this yet. But the electricians come up with this package deal to install an inverter of, you know, what do you need? 240, you know, what flavor do you need? And install in people's houses and start getting that done to, you know, proliferate the widespread adoption because that's really what's preventing. We want to be able to charge at night without running the cable and plugging over here and reaching over the stuff around the rake and the, you know, all the stuff in the garage.
There are home building companies that are pre-wiring garages for this.
Well, sure. But, you know, we've got so many houses.
But you've
got to
have the retrofit.
You live in an apartment or a condo or something like that. What do you do? So I think that is really preventing adoption. And so should an electrician, you know, some company come
up with
this?
You're thinking about a cottage industry because we're not doing enough. Let's become
some sort of thing waiting to happen, that, you know, a quick electric retrofit. And well, it's not quick, but, you know, it's a way of offering homeowners like, hey, here's the deal. It drums up business for them.
Yeah.
You know, certainly provides adoption for the rest of us. Because Brian Boyer asked on Facebook here about the electric retrofit of cars.
Okay.
Said it sounds good for 70% of the solution, but how do you take into account the displacement of weight, obviously battery pack, and to this point, battery packs are still very heavy. We have not seen a breakthrough in weight.
Or a breakthrough in massively fast charging, which is another breakthrough
very
required at some point,
Very true. So, you know, when attempting to maintain the original balance of the car, well, I'll take the E-Type. Jaguar, the company, is retrofitting the E-Type non-destructively with the running gear out of the I-Pace, including the battery pack. And they're claiming the same weight distribution, but to your point, the car is heavier. But
period.
The weight distribution is nearly as original as the car itself.
Whereas its weight the same, but weighs more.
Correct. That distribution and how it works. So therefore, the driving dynamics of the car are still very similar, even though the car is heavier and you're going to feel that weight. So I think it's honestly going to come down to battery packs becoming lighter. I think it's really just, you know, we're waiting on technology to evolve in that sense.
And I think you're also right that I think we're going to see folks that are trying to figure out how to balance where the batteries are and just dealing with the fact that this got heavy, but thank God electric motors have torque.
Yeah, no
kidding.
There's
that trade-off as well. Speaking of electric stuff, we got into a whole electric trend here, by the way. Travels with George I says, or George J says, can non-Tesla EVs use Tesla's charging network? And if not, why not?
Mm.
I've talked about this before. This is the number one thing I don't get about Tesla. Look, I've heard, stopping real quick, you can send emails. I've read the emails. I've seen all the reasons why not. I understand it. Just looking at it from a kind of up high perspective, Elon Musk has built the world's first electric gas station infrastructure worldwide. He's so far out front on that. He's farther out front on that than he is on electric cars. Is just infrastructure for that. Why on earth, if you want to make the company make money, why not make it possible for the non-Tesla owner to plug into your system and pay a fee so all of your Tesla owners don't have to pay a fee? And you could make money. You're paying to rent all of those places. I know there's behind-the-scenes stuff as to why not, but ultimately that is a infrastructure that exists worldwide that beats anybody else's electric charging infrastructure, and it is available for Teslas only. And that's why if you look at something, we did a Model 3 versus Bolt piece in Season 3, and we have a big discussion about how the reason that the Tesla Model 3 is a better own-it-right-now car than the Bolt isn't really the driving of either one. It's the fact that the Tesla's got the infrastructure and the Bolt doesn't. It's hard to charge the Bolt anywhere you need to and quickly. Tesla's got that nailed.
Barbara Priest P says, not everyone, including her, wants or needs an SUV or CUV. How do we stop all this madness before we run out of fun cars? Honestly, that's a tough one. Because
buy the fun cars. Buy the fun cars.
That's essentially what it comes down to. We've got to buy the cars. If you can afford to buy the fun car brand new, get that fun car. Because you're seeing where the entire industry is going. Ford's reveal of the Mach-E has, you know, it's very telling.
Completely. Sadly so, yes.
I'm just wondering if normal Mustangs will become electric.
Oh, for sure. For
and
sure
hybridized.
Will.
I mean,
it'll probably
let me
be
answer my own question.
It'll probably
I know they will.
It'll be accelerated
but
now.
At what point?
Yes.
And I think it's coming sooner than we want it to, because at 700 horsepower now, 750, with a new GT500, where do you go from that?
Yeah.
You go, honestly,
you jump to electric.
In four or five years from now, what is the new GT500?
But think about it this way. Think about the number of flavors that every Mustang is offered in for engines. My guess is we're a generation away from, instead of having 4, 6, 8 crazy supercharged, you're going to have electric 8 crazy supercharged.
Yeah. Yeah, and a generation is 4 or 5 years for the Mustang.
Yeah, I think
it's not as long.
I think we're very, very close.
Nissan.
Like, no, we're not Nissan generations.
14.5 million
normal
years.
Generations for cars.
Right.
Yeah.
The Nissan generation. Oh, so you mean like a decade or two?
So I've got time, is what you're saying. Got it. Yeah.
Wow, guys, thank you for all your questions. We got a blaze, but really appreciate all the questions. Keep them coming. And, well, yeah, Fox 50 says, in the 1980s, Ford was going to turn the Mustang into a front-wheel drive Probe. The backlash was so great, they turned it into a separate model. Can it be done again? If we're loud enough.
A little late, but we'll see. Meanwhile, we are at the LA Auto Show on Wednesday. If you happen to be at the show during press days and you see us, please say hi. Also, we will do a full LA Auto Show debrief, giving you our thoughts on it for Friday's podcast. So we will see you then.
Guys, looking forward to next time. Cheers, everyone.